These later years of childhood have been flying by. As a mom, I want to not just be available to my kids during these last years they have at home, but I want to feel good and have the energy I need to keep up with their schedule and my own. So my health is a top priority. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and body back into harmony. You're not alone on your wellness journey. Every customer gets one-on-one support to help you meet your goals. EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense is a 3-in-1 capsule that supports your digestive health and promotes gut barrier protection. A healthy gut positively impacts immunity, mental health, sleep, digestion, and skin health. It helps regulate digestion, immunity against bad bacteria, and improve nutrient absorption. The gut has been called the second brain because it contains more than 100 million nerve cells. It is a vitally important piece to our overall health, both physical and mental. So to make sure my gut is working at its potential, I started taking EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense to improve my digestion and nutrition absorption, boost my overall immune health, and help with sleep and stress as a bonus. Head to myeq.com and use code PARENTING for 15% off Equilibria's Microbiome Defense and much more. That's myeq.com and use code PARENTING at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. Welcome to the Your Village Podcast, Parenting Beyond Discipline. Your Village is the most comprehensive site for evidence-based parenting classes available on demand at yourvillageonline.com. Our 50-plus classes give parents the foundation, steps, and tools for creating strong, healthy relationships with their children, resulting in responsible, cooperative, happy, and successful children and families. My goal is to help parents support their children in finding and reaching their own unique potential. The podcast is a place to learn about all things parenting and get your questions answered. I'm Your Village founder and your host, Erin Royer. Today, we have an amazing guest, Carol Kramer, RN, author of the award-winning book, Newborn 101, and founder of Boston Baby Nurse and Nanny, a leading agency of overnight and daytime newborn caregivers and pre- and postpartum support services, is here to talk to us about vetting and managing caregiver relationships. This is such an important topic that is so helpful for so many families. Carol Kramer, I am so excited to have you on today. Because I remember when my kids were little, they were 2, 3, 4, even early elementary, and one of the most anxiety-provoking experiences was trying to find the right caregiver for our family, finding someone who I could trust with to take care of my children.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, I can relate to that. I'm a mom of three myself, and I think it's probably the most important decision as a parent, one of the most important decisions that we make.
Yeah, so I would love to get into this topic with you today so we can help some of the parents out there to be really prepared when they go to interview and hire someone to come in and help their family in whatever capacity that is with the kids or around the house and, you know, in whatever different, arrangements that parents need help with their kids around with the family. So the first question I have is, what is the first step in finding a quality caregiver that you recommend?
One of the things that we are finding at Boston Baby Nurse over the last couple of years is that the childcare landscape has changed dramatically with the coronavirus outbreak. You know, the pandemic has just changed the way that parents navigate this. It's a huge challenge, and it was difficult before. And with COVID, it's even more difficult. And we're finding parents just very confused. Not certain between working at home and the children going to school, but the school closures. There's a lot of uncertainty, and parents have experienced professional challenges while trying to balance family, childcare. It's been tough. So that being said, all of a sudden we're finding that there is a demand for childcare workers. There's just not enough. Whereas, you know, 5 years ago, or even 3 years ago, there were plenty of nannies and parents had, you know, almost the edge. Now it has changed. So it's a little bit of a different dynamic, but I don't know if you want to go into that at all.
Talk to us about the different dynamic about hiring now, because that is our reality now, is parents are working at home. parents need someone to maybe come and go. There might be some flexibility. They might be, you know, kids might be schooling from home. So maybe they're looking for someone to help get their kid through the school day. Because I know my kids have been in and out of school, in and out of school. So they're schooling from home. They're at school. They're schooling from home. They're at school. Now they're at home and I'm trying to get kids through the school day. And I'm also trying to do my job. So I can see how that things have really changed.
Yeah. 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 It's a completely different landscape right now. And it will become a new normal. And I think things will all fall into place. So I think it's really important. What I always say to parents is let's not create an environment of fear. I mean, there's enough chaos going around and let's just, you know, this is a situation. It's a challenge, but we're going to create a new normal. Things are changing and that's okay. Change can be a little scary, but it's not necessarily, you know, a bad thing. And embracing the change and not fearing it, you know, is going to benefit and just help in the process. And, you know, choosing a childcare provider is one of the most important decisions as a parent. It's huge, you know, but like we love our children more than anything. And, you know, how do we navigate that? And it is difficult. There are lots of different ways to go about that. You know, anywhere from, you know, you could parents sign on with agencies and parents can go online to online platforms. So I can touch base about a few of those options. I love and I recommend for anyone who's looking for a nanny, ask your friends, ask your relatives, ask, you know, people that you know, your acquaintances, because it's really knowing the background, knowing her history is huge. So I think that would be a great way to start. Before you sign on with an agency, before, you know, going on the internet, ask your network. And chances are, you know, someone might say, oh, I know this person, but it's, you know, you ask this person, another name will come up. And so that is a good way to start the process.
Okay, great. So what can you give us some idea about some interview questions that you would recommend to kind of vet out like some red flags or some great go signs for a caregiver?
Absolutely. I love this question. I love it, love it, love it. And I'm going to tell you why. I talk to parents often, hundreds of parents, you know, during the course of the month. And it's always interesting how sometimes the first thing out of a mom's mouth or like a dad when they're looking for someone is, does she speak three languages? Is she, you know, does she have a background in early childhood development? So I'm starting off that way because yes, those are all important things, but more important is this person going to love my child? Is this person going to take care of my child? That trumps everything. Yes, it's great if they have degrees and they are bilingual, but honestly, like we want our child to be protected. So there are some great questions that I would recommend. And starting out to try to find out what is her motivation. And I say her because most of our nannies are women.
They are
care providers, but of course, it could be a manny, yeah. Either one. But like finding out what's the motivation behind this job, that is like an important question that I typically will present a caregiver. And the reason for that is I'm looking for a caregiver who's going to stick around for, you know, a period of time, whether it's a year or 6 months or 2 years. I want a commitment. There are many, many caregivers who are looking for quick, I need to make some money. I'm going to be a nanny. And then I'm flying to California to marry my boyfriend. But of course, they're not going to tell you that.
Right.
So our job is to say, geez, so, you know, where do you see yourself in a few years? And with the understanding is that your goal is to figure out why do they want to work for your, why do they want to work for your family? Are they trying to make money to, you know, head out to California? Right. So we want to find out what's the motivation. And you want people who want, their career nannies, they're like someone who wants to be with your child. She's not, you know, her goal when you ask her, what do you see yourself in 5 years or 2 years or next year? Here with your family, right? Like you want to really try to understand the motivation behind the job. Also find out who did you work with and why did you leave? Really important. How long did you stay? Key factors. You know, you want to make sure that the person has some is able to sustain a job and that she's able to, you know, stay at a job and that people have hired her.
Right.
And that she hasn't gotten fired. And experience more than just, I have five children, I can nanny. There's another element to taking care of other people's children. So, you know, making sure that person has experience, that they've worked out of the home as well as, you know, maybe taking care of their own children. But those are important screening questions. And again, about the background check, those types of questions, they are going to tell you what you want to hear. So the most important number 1111 is check the references, make sure, take notes, and make sure that everything jibes and that it's consistent. So as a working, you know, as a owning a nanny agency, that is what we do. And so we interview nannies, we take notes, and then we call the references and we ask. And if we something doesn't match, even if it's off by a month, or if something's just not right, it's a red flag. And so sometimes it's innocent and it's just, it's not a big deal. But other times it gives us reason to pause and look a little deeper. So make sure you ask great questions, take notes, and then contact your references and see if they match up. A few other questions. What's her childcare philosophy? What's your childcare philosophy? So we need to know, who are we looking for before we even have a nanny come in the home? Are you strict? Do you like routines? Or do you just want someone to come in and keep an eye on the kids, but mostly, you know, do food prep? You know, identify what it is that what type of nanny you're looking for. Sometimes new moms prefer caregivers who have experience, who can help them and sort of be a resource. With second or third babies, you know, sometimes the most important thing, mom doesn't need any more resources, but she just needs someone who can manage three things and multitask, right? A couple other things that I think are really important, some red flags. You know, you want to ask about, obviously, what her, you know, the background and what types of activities would you do with my children? What would you do in a case of an emergency? Mm-hmm. Some of the answers that I would not want to get. One of the things I look for is the nanny, is the caregiver looking at your child during the interview? Is she, and if your child's not there, has she asked questions? Does she show interest? That's huge, right? A nanny who isn't interested in the child probably isn't interested in the job for the right reasons. I have been in interviews accompanying nannies where they don't even look at the baby. And, you know, that's a big red flag. Someone who doesn't want a contract, you know, maybe you do or you don't use a contract. That's not the issue. But if someone is very, very against a contract, I'd wonder why. Someone who is focused so much on salary and the hourly rate. That's important, of course. However, you know, when we're in a professional interview, that's secondary.
Right.
Once, you know, we decide we're going to work together, then we can talk about that. You know, sometimes if a candidate has no questions, I don't know. I think that would be another one of my little red flags. When I prep nannies to go on interviews, I explain, you know, ask questions, be curious, right? And then, you know, what's the vibe that mom gets or dad gets? What's, you know, trust your intuition. Our intuition is very accurate, and the more we can tune in on it, the better we can kind of read other people. And, you know, I've been in rooms where a mom will say to me, nope, you know, she looked great, but my intuition just told me not to go with her. So trust that. But also, like, how does your candidate talk about other people? How does she talk about her past employer? How does she talk about the children? So, you know, getting that information is huge. You can learn so much.
Great. I'm glad you covered all that, because that was my next question. Actually, it was about red flags. And those are all really great and really important. I think, you know, our intuition, especially, you know, parents' intuition is just really kind of the bottom line. You know, if you feel like something's off, then something's probably off. So I'm really glad you mentioned that, because that's a really important piece. And also the part about, you know, salary is second. And yes, of course, it's important and they do want to know about it. But the other stuff should be more important is, how do you run your home? What kind of things do you need help with? What kind of things do your kids like to do? Like, some more interest in the job and how it would go, and how, and what do I do if I'm sick? How do we handle that? Like, someone who wants to know, like, how does the job run and how does it work, shows that they're actually interested in the intricacies and the ins and outs of the job, and not just, how am I going to make money to, as you said, get to California to be with my boyfriend? And, you know, I'm all for California. That's where I live. So I don't blame anyone for wanting to get here. But if you're living in Illinois and you want to work as a nanny, then you should be wanting to live in Illinois and work as a nanny.
So I want to talk about broaching tough subjects with your caregiver. Also, some more tips on finding the right fit for your family and your children. And also, what about special circumstances, and especially when you have a child with special needs or special circumstance in your home? So we're going to get to those with Carol Kramer right after a word from our sponsors. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company whose mission is simple: make the best formula in the world. Using the latest in breast milk science, ByHeart created a clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula that's made with organic, grass-fed whole milk, certified clean ingredients, and features a patented protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. Our blend includes the most abundant protein found in breast milk, alpha-lac, as well as lactoferrin, the number one protein found in colostrum, along with broken-down, partially hydrolyzed proteins. ByHeart is an easy-to-digest formula. In addition to its patented protein blend, our formula includes prebiotics and an 80-20 whey to casein ratio, like in early breast milk, which is tailor-made for a newborn's digestive system. ByHeart is the only U.S.-made infant formula to use organic, grass-fed whole milk, not skim. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with the code PARENTING for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. To me, there is nothing more important than my family's health and well-being. We all know the quality of the air in our home is important. But did you know indoor air quality can be up to 100 times dirtier than outdoor air? I've got to tell you about Puro Air. In 30 minutes, this device will remove allergens, dust, smoke, dander, and gases from the room. Puro Air uses a stronger filter called a HEPA 14 that filters pollutants at a microscopic level and is backed by scientists from Harvard and MIT. In laboratory studies, users saw noticeably cleaner air in just 30 minutes. When it comes to babies and children, there's nothing worse than dealing with a cranky baby or child who can't sleep because of congestion. Air purifiers can help reduce congestion and improve immune system function to fight those winter colds and flus. I use my Puro Air purifiers to clean the air in my home, especially in our bedrooms while we sleep. It has a quiet, relaxing hum and cleans the air from pet dander, allergens, viruses, dust, mold, odors, and contaminants. It has four levels: low, medium, high, and sleep. And four different timer options, so you can customize it to your home and your needs. Check out Puro Air at getpuroair.com. That's GetPuroAir.com. Puro Air is the only air filter that uses a HEPA 14 filter. That's getpuroair.com. Now that we're back, let's get into some more great tips for vetting and managing caregiver relationships with Carol Kramer.
So another question I have is, so if you have like a tough subject that you need to approach with your nanny or in the interview, either way, how do you recommend, what tips do you have for that? Whether it's about bringing a boyfriend over, or, you know, if you've had an issue with something, I mean, I'm sure you have all kinds of stories that you can share. You can be like, yeah, we've run into this or that, and here's how we handle it. But, you know, there's a lot of sensitive issues because it's such an intimate relationship. They're coming into your home. Like, they're your second caregiver for the most important people in your life. So, you know, you're kind of blending your life in some way with another person that you don't know all that well. So there's some, you know, some boundaries, I'm sure, that can be crossed and do get crossed. And how do we handle those?
Yeah, yes. And another great question, and so important. You touched upon this relationship. It's a very important relationship. And like with any relationship, in order to grow a relationship, two people need to communicate. And we coach parents and we also coach nannies. And one of the things that I always have on the top of my list is to establish communication right from the beginning. And that could look like something very simple, like, you know, how was your day? Or, you know, just being curious. I look more towards the mom to set the tone or to set sort of the baseline. So in other words, I can give you an example so it starts to make sense to you. You mentioned the nanny bringing a boyfriend over. I'm trying to think what the scenario is. If the nanny asks the mom, can I bring my boyfriend over? But I'm going to say, let's say the nanny brought the boyfriend over.
Or and mom, friend or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, or whatever, right? And didn't ask the mom. And mom found out through a neighbor. And now this, everything else with this nanny has been amazing. No problems. Let's say it's been 6 months. But the neighbor calls and said, you know, I just want to let you know there's a car there and, you know, blah, 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 blah. As a mom, she can think, well, should I bring it up or shouldn't I bring it up? Should I bring it up or shouldn't I bring it up? Because you want to have an amicable relationship. But the best thing to do is to bring it up. Obviously, you know, you have to communicate. And if I, as a mom, am the first one to mirror what it's like to communicate, then my caregiver is going to feel more comfortable communicating with me about something. So, you know, maybe that wasn't the perfect example to use. The nanny arrives 20 minutes late, 3 days in a row. And now it's the fourth day. And mom's like, oh, should I say something? Shouldn't I say something? You know what? It is the best thing is to communicate and say, gee, you know, Suze, I have to be at work at 8. And when you arrive 20 minutes late, it makes me late for work. Is there something we can do to help? So just to like nip it in the bud to address it, but it really shows communication. And then on the other end, the nanny, when she sees the mom communicating, the nanny's going to be much more able to communicate and not feel, you know, nervous to bring something up. We had a nanny call a few weeks ago who loved the family and the family loved her. It's all great. But the mom had every week added on more and more and more responsibilities, vacuum, window clean. Like the list went on and on. And so the nanny said, I don't know what to do. Well, you know, going back, I said, geez, it would have been, here's a great lesson. When it first started, maybe saying something, but she'd let it go so long, right? And now she was afraid to say anything. But, you know, so she did it. She brought it up and she said, you know, it's hard to watch the children and do this. I can do one and the other, but I probably won't always get, you know, all this work done. And mom was great. She just, they needed to communicate. Mom's expectations and the caregiver's expectations were different. And we just need to be aligned on the same page. So communication is huge. And anytime we have and develop a good way of communication with someone, we can bring up things, you know, that are difficult. If we never bring anything up and a difficult situation arises, yeah, it's going to be awkward.
Yeah, very good. And I think, you know, sometimes, because I'm even thinking back when I had nannies, when I, you know, my kids were younger, it's sometimes I think one or the other, it's hard to think of it as like, I hate to say like a real job, but I don't think everybody always takes it so seriously as a real job. Like you be there on time and you fulfill your duties and you know, you're not on your phone and you're not, you know, you don't have a friend come over to your regular job if you were working in an office. So really thinking about it in that context on both ends, and you don't add a bunch of like, here's what your job description is, but now I'm going to keep adding on more job description after you've already started working here. Like thinking of it more as, you know, this is a job that you're hired for and it's set out and it's stipulated in the beginning and here are the parameters and here's what's expected, and kind of keeping it that way unless somebody wants to change something and then brings it up and talks about it and talks about maybe a raise if you're going to do more things. And So my next question is, what are some skills that you feel like are really important for most or all maybe nannies to have when they're coming to work with children in your home? Like just some basic skills you think are across the board to be a good foundation.
Yeah. Well, the basic skills would be CPR and first aid, that they have a current certificate, that it's up to date, and that they know how to handle emergencies. That's important. And you could look at the person's card, but also to sort of establish, does this person understand what to do in the case of emergency? The current landscape with this sudden surge demand for nannies and nanny educators, we have found that not all nannies are able to care for all families, and it depends on the nanny's expertise and what the family's looking for. So I also look at the nanny's trainings, certificates, continuing education, those types of skills, basic skills. But I also would mirror those skills with, okay, what are my child's ages and what are my expectations for this caregiver? And is she capable of, delivering? Is she capable of, doing homework with the child or reading with the child? Identify what you're looking for and make sure the nanny's capable of doing it. But all nannies that we work with have CPR, so they know how to handle emergencies. But we find that we have families that have a newborn, and we have families who have toddlers or twins or an autistic child or a child with a food allergy. All of these families have different needs. And so not every caregiver is going to fit that. And so what we're finding is that at Boston Baby Nurse, and I know there are other platforms as well, we've created online training for these nannies. And that has become, over the last year, during this surge, during COVID, we found that there's a lot more resources available for nannies. And so a parent who has an autistic child needs a caregiver who knows how to handle special needs. And so do they have that training? It's very important. A child with a food allergy needs a caregiver who understands that. So really making sure that you identify those important things and making sure the person you choose is capable. Very, very important. And if not, no matter how good they are, it's not the right fit. We have the platform. There's lots of different platforms available online. And we have parents that also purchase for their caregivers. I mean, it's very, very reasonable, less than $100. They purchase a class so that their nanny can understand how to care for a child with allergies.
I have the same thing. I do have parents who purchase my classes for their nannies so that they have an understanding of child development and, the ways to support child development and how to deal with, tantrums and other types of things so that they're on the same page as the parents. So that is great. And when it comes to, kids with special needs, like there are very specific skills and very specific knowledge that that is really necessary when you're working with, like you said, children with autism or children with allergies or food allergies. My daughter has a friend who has some food allergies, and they're 11. So she knows about her own allergies, but we didn't know as the mom of, the daughter's friend. And she had some pizza at her house, and she has a soy allergy, and it happened to have soy in it. And she asked her mom, like, is this okay? And her mom's like, yeah, it's okay. But it turned out to be just a little bit different. And there was some soy in it. And she had a reaction when she got home that night. And mom was like, can you read the box to me? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And she's like, oh yeah, okay. So that was a learning experience for us and for her mom. I'm like, just let me know. I'll read the box or I'll do whatever I need to do. But we didn't know. And she had a moderate to severe reaction at home that night.
Wow.
So yeah, those are really important when you have a kid who really is. This is not just, all in people's heads. Like, these allergies are real and they can cause some real reactions and it can be very dangerous. So it's very important to know how to read the labels and what they can't have, and don't bring anything over that and give it to the child that's got an allergy if you haven't cleared it with mom ahead of time, etc. Like, that's a really important thing to know.
Yeah. And you know, to that point is not to settle. You know, just if, especially if you have a child with special needs or you know, with allergies or a medical issue, or if you have twins or a newborn, as much as, you know, yes, we need to get our child care providers, but sometimes it's better to wait than to rush into something, especially when it comes to, like, you know, we've talked about our kids.
I love that. That is a really important point, is not to settle. Because I know when you're a parent and you're just like, I've got to find someone because I need to be able to get to work, or I need to be able to start taking care of this house and getting out and running some errands, and I'm, you know, I'm falling behind in work. But as soon as you hire the wrong person, it just creates so much more work for yourself. And, you know, like you said, when it comes to, you know, infants cannot advocate for themselves. So if someone's not taking care of them very well, they can't tell you. So you really need to make sure that this person is really going to do a great job with your infant. And it's one thing if you're working from home and you're kind of around and you can see, you know, again, still don't settle, but at least you can make sure if you're working from home. But if you're out and you're, you know, working at the office and someone's home with your baby or child that you don't know, just really doing that vetting is so important.
Price of childcare is high. And so when, you know, people, caregivers are asking 25, 30, 35 an hour, sometimes what we can do is say, well, you know, I can give you the 25, I can't give you the 30, but, you know, you're free to, if you need a cup of tea or if you want to make yourself. So making the caregiver feel like she's part of the family instead of a nanny who is a worker who comes in and leaves, like, let, you know, embrace her. And let her be part of the family. And yes, she's an employee. We, you know, I understand that, and that will always, you know, remain. There needs to be a respectful relationship both ways. But you know, how we treat the nanny, how, you know, do we have to criticize because, you know, one little thing wasn't done? Choose your battles wisely, because this is the person that is caring for your child.
And your kids do get attached to this person.
Yeah.
Too. So if they do a good job, the kids get attached and they create a relationship. And so it is an interesting, like we were talking about, an intimate relationship. It's a little bit family, a little, you know, it is employee for sure, but it's also a little bit family because they're having a very intimate relationship, especially with your children. So having some of that warmth and that family feeling is important. And my rule was always, you know, I mean, I was like, eat what you want. Nobody ever took advantage of that, but you know, you're making something for the kids. Make some for yourself, like right. Sit down and eat with the kids. You don't have to go eat out of a lunchbox, you know, in the corner and make the kids a great meal. Like that just doesn't make sense to me. So.
Yeah. And most, you know, I think most people or caregivers wouldn't come in and eat all your food, but you know, I guess just, it's just an example of how a little thing would make such a difference.
Yes, it really does.
Yeah.
Well, these are great tips. Thank you so much. These, I think, are really helpful to parents. Can you just share whatever you would like about your resources, any social media that you have where people can find you and find those classes if they'd like to get some education for their nannies?
Sure. So you can find lots of parenting tips and information on our website, bostonbabynurse.com. Our Instagram is Boston Baby Nurse and Nanny, and we're also on Facebook. We have two new moms that share great information. I watch these and I see these every day and I just get a kick out of it. So good information. We have, you know, free resources. You know, we genuinely want to help. We're happy to answer questions, anything like that. You know, we're here. This is our almost 15th year. And, you know, we love what we do and we are, you know, expanding down to the DC, New York, DC area. And, so love to keep in touch. And if anyone has questions, feel free to reach out.
Great. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me, Erin.
Next week, we'll get back to some questions. And if you have a question you'd like answered, please send an email to podcast@yourvillageonline.com. Thanks for listening and see you next week.